Hi, and welcome to the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health's In Conversation podcast. I'm Ella Rhodes, and recently I spoke to Dr. Duncan Gillard, an educational psychologist based in Bristol. He's worked extensively in the field of acceptance and commitment therapy, also known as ACT. And he'll be hosting a workshop on that very topic this summer.
So my name's Dr. Duncan Gillard. I'm a senior educational psychologist working for primarily Bristol Local Education Authority, but also affiliated to a group of acceptance and commitment therapy practitioners under the banner of the ACT for Wellbeing Centre.
Can you tell us a little bit about where the acceptance and commitment in acceptance and commitment therapy comes from?
So in acceptance and commitment therapy, what we try to do is practice techniques that help us to accept difficult thoughts and feelings. Why? Well, not because we want to experience negative thoughts and feelings or painful thoughts and feelings for their own sake, but because often moving in the direction of a life with meaning and purpose means being able to accept or kind of put up with a degree of perhaps anxiety or worry or self-doubt or, you know, will I be able to do this? I'm not quite sure. Those kinds of things. So rather than to try to reduce the frequency or intensity of perhaps anxiety or worry or self what we might think of as self-limiting thoughts or beliefs, what we try to do is kind of encourage more acceptance of those processes in the service of moving toward a life with increased meaning and purpose. The commitment piece in acceptance and commitment therapy is committing to a course of action. Course of action that's consistent with who we want to be in the world, with what we want to achieve in the world, with the kinds of qualities that we want to bring about in the world. So within the ACT model, at the center of the these kind of core processes, so acceptance, diffusion, kind of mindfulness processes, values, committed action, at the center of this process, of these six processes, is a term that we usually call psychological flexibility. So psychological flexibility is the kind of core concept of psychological well-being in ACT. And what that essentially means is to be willing to experience the full range of human experiences, the full range of human emotions, thoughts, sensations, experiences, and to be able to notice in a useful way those experiences and keep moving in the direction of what matters to us. Keep moving in a direction that is consistent with the kind of person we want to be in the world.
Your work is all around kind of acceptance and commitment therapy, but could you tell us just a little bit more about what that means and what that involves?
Acceptance and commitment therapy is a kind of mindfulness-based cognitive behavioural therapy model. It's developed in the kind of 1990s, primarily, I would say, found its way into book form right at the end of that decade. A book written called Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, an Experiential Approach to Behavior Change by Professor Stephen C. Hayes and a couple of his colleagues in the States. And since that time, really, the research and practice agenda around acceptance and commitment therapy has kind of grown exponentially. There's an enormous body of research behind acceptance and commitment therapy now across a whole range of different areas, including with children and young people and ACT for school for staff, ACT within the workplace, and also ACT for parents. I mentioned those three in particular because they're the most relevant three context in which I would apply acceptance and commitment therapy in my own work.
And could you tell us a little bit more about how you do use it in your own work?
So the most active strand of my work at the moment is to do to apply acceptance and commitment therapy to promote and enhance the psychological well-being of staff within organisations, and particularly those organisations are usually educational organisations, schools, colleges, early years centres, special schools, etc. So that's one strand. So we deliver, for example, group-based stress management interventions. We don't really like to call them stress management interventions, but they kind of belong to the broad church of stress management training programs. We kind of tend to call them more well-being interventions for groups. So it's a piece of work that we absolutely love doing here in Bristol, and I'm one of a group of six educational psychologists within the local authority who is kind of trained to deliver those programs. One of the things that we've done as we've developed that work is to work in partnership with universities, most notably City University London, in both developing and evaluating those interventions. But primarily a guy called Dr. Paul Flaxman, who wrote a fantastic book on how to apply ACT to improve workplace well-being called The Mindful and Effective Employee. That was written in 2013, and Dr. Flaxman and his research team have worked very closely with us over the last about 3 years now to support us in developing our skills, and the kind of quid pro quo in that relationship is that Paul and his team get access to all of our data so that they can kind of continue to aggregate that data sort of month on month, year on year, and build a stronger and stronger case for the use of ACT-based approaches to improve staff well-being in schools in particular.
Duncan, you've told me a little bit about your kind of day-to-day work, but is ACT quite a useful intervention for children and young people particularly, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I just kind of make reference to some of the existing research as a way of beginning my answer to that question. So in 2015, we had a fairly high quality, I would say, meta-analysis published by a group of researchers in Australia, actually. And what they found at that time, so bear in mind we're going back 3 years now, quite a lot will have been done since then, were just over 202, in fact, empirical papers that have been published to date on the use of acceptance and commitment therapy or acceptance and commitment-based approaches with children and young people. Obviously, when you've got a pool of empirical papers like that, you're going to have varying degrees of quality and type when it comes to methodology, but you know that alone was quite a significant body of empirical literature. So 202, 3 years ago. Since that time, well, in fact, around about that time, actually, there was quite a seminal book level text that was published by a group of practitioner researcher authors in Australia, most notably Dr. Louise Hayes and Professor Joseph Cherokee. So their book was The Thriving Adolescent. And the reason this book was so important for ACT practitioners working with children and young people like myself is that the ACT model in its original inception was never designed be applied with children and young people, although, interestingly, it's been done so with a fair degree of success. What I mean by that is that it wasn't designed with child development models considered or taken into account. What Louise and Joseph in Australia tried to do was adapt, or if you like, differentiate the ACT model so that it was more appropriate for children and young people by taking into account child development factors. And they've done that fairly successfully. The book was only published in 2015. And the empirical work leading on from that, you know, effectively the empirical work leading on from delivering interventions based on this new kind of ACT for youth model is emerging. There's a couple of papers out there at the moment, and we're doing quite a lot of work trying to support that process.
Is this model, are you using this kind of in schools around Bristol at the moment?
Yeah, so the model's very new. We've done quite a bit of ACT, pure ACT work, what I call pure ACT work with children and young people in Bristol. And we're just in the process of developing several projects that are specifically informed by the DNAV model that we will be very soon rolling out in schools. I've been presenting on the model a little bit in conferences recently. Of course, we've got your conference, the ACAM conference, coming up, and I'll talk to the model a little bit there. We've been doing bits and pieces of the DNAV model within our own casework, myself and my five colleagues who are also ACT and DNAV trained. But in terms of running kind of larger scale, kind of group-based interventions and evaluating those interventions so that we can kind of gradually increase the empirical evidence base for DNAV, we've got two programs that we're just in the process of developing.
So, Duncan, how will this research progress over the coming few months and years, do you think?
Probably there'll be several strands that emerge, but I can be fairly explicit about two of the strands that we're well on the way toward planning and beginning the implementation of at this time. Possibly the first one that I mentioned, because I'm so excited about it, is the development of a whole school wellbeing curriculum for upper key stage 2 children based on the DNAV model. So we have a PhD student at the University of the West of England at the moment whose PhD is around just that. So she is developing around 36 lesson plans for year 5 children, so children around 10 years old, and a whole range of other aspects to the intervention. So we think about the kind of the processes being the overall intervention, and the 36 lesson plans are kind of the probably the main aspect of the intervention, but not the only aspect of the intervention. The idea is that from September of this coming year, we'll be rolling this out to a group of schools in an experimental group and comparing a range of different wellbeing outcomes.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. And there's many children and young people experience quite a lot of difficulties around that sort of time. Has it been something that's been quite popular with the schools that you're proposing it to?
It's early days, but early indications are very much so yes. So I run once a year a wellbeing in schools conference for all Bristol schools. In fact, actually the schools in surrounding areas are welcome to come along as well. We just had that last week actually, so Friday just gone, we ran that wellbeing conference, and the workshop that myself and one of my educational psychologist colleagues did around the DNAV model was very well received. So we're feeling very excited, and we also feel that now we're starting to get word out there to schools, and schools are becoming increasingly excited. We've had a couple of schools get in touch with us just this week saying, is there any way we could talk to you about how we can use this particular model to improve the well-being of some of our students about whom we're concerned? And of course we're very open to having those discussions. So yes, it's early days, but we're quite excited about the energy that's gradually being generated locally behind the model.
And I was going to move on to the workshop that you're going to be holding for ACAM. Could you tell us a little bit about what that's going to include and what kinds of people might want to come along as well?
So what I'm hoping to do in the one-day workshop for the ACAM conference is provide a general introduction to the ACT model, intellectually, if you like, and also a general introduction to the evidence base underpinning the various different applications of the ACT model. You can't really learn ACT. You might as well take the really out. You cannot learn ACT without doing experiential work. In other words, just to talk about the model and in a didactic way, or to discuss the model in a kind of more discursive way, probably doesn't really lend itself very well to learning about the model and its particular impact. The only way you can do that really is experientially. So that's the plan for the one-day workshop I'm going to be presenting. The hope is to engage participants in a whole range of different experiential activities, including mindfulness-based activities, values clarification activities that try to translate those values clarification activities into clear courses of action, what we call committed action within the ACT world, and also diffusion activities as well. And diffusion is a particular term that you find commonly in ACT-based interventions, because diffusion is the term that we use for relating skillfully to tricky thoughts. It's like the kind of ACT treatment of difficult cognitive processes, if you like. Rather than try to change the structure of difficult thoughts such as, I'm not good enough, I could never get that job, nobody loves me, those kinds of things. In ACT, what we try to do is just recognize them as thoughts. And we use diffusion techniques to try to just get a little bit of space between our sense of who we are and those thought processes. What happens here is, rather than there being an attempt to change the structure of those thoughts from, for example, nobody loves me to lots of people love me, we try to change the function of those thought patterns so that by getting a little bit of distance from them, i.e. from diffusing from them, they exert less control over people's behavior, over the life choices that people make. So I can have a thought like, there's no way I could possibly ever get that job. I'm not good enough at my job. I can have that thought and go, ah, that's okay. I'm noticing that as a thought, but I'm going to try it anyway. And so what we get then is what in ACT terms, in technical terms, we call transformation of stimulus function. The stimulus in this instance is the thought, but it doesn't function to exert such a great amount of control over our behavior. It's kind of made extinct so that we can move in the direction of a more values consistent life and more values consistent patterns of behavior.
And who do you think your workshop will be most useful for? Is it just aimed at practitioners or kind of anybody working with children and young people?
The aspiration is that this workshop is going to be really useful for psychologists working with children and young people, particularly those who are relatively new or completely new to the ACT model. I say this because my aim for the first part of the day is to provide a general introduction to the ACT model, its evidence base, and some of the experiential practices. And then we're going to kind of funnel in a little bit more narrowly into how you apply some of this stuff, or how you might think about applying some of this stuff with children and young people that you work with. So definitely, I will have failed in my job if I haven't made this useful and relevant for psychologists, counselors, etc., who work therapeutically or quasi-therapeutically with children and young people in their daily or regular work. It would also probably, because a lot of these applications are very easily undertaken within school-based contexts, it would also probably be appropriate for school-based practitioners who find themselves with a particular brief around promoting psychological well-being or improving psychological well-being. So, for example, mental health leads within schools, school-based school counsellors, school therapists, and people like that.
Brilliant. And what do you hope people take away from your workshop?
Well, I hope people will have a sound understanding, even if it's a beginning understanding, of the ACT model. I also hope people will have a clear set of techniques that they can draw on to make sense of that model. So, you know, not just an intellectual understanding of diffusion, for example, as a concept, but an understanding of how diffusion works in practice, and at least two or three techniques that have been shown to be effective in creating diffusion from problematic thoughts. I hope people will take away enjoyment. I hope people will find the workshops kind of intellectually and experientially stimulating. And I suppose, as I mentioned before, because the idea is that we're going to funnel in as the day goes on and get more narrow in our focus, looking specifically at how this model or models like it, such as the DNAV model, but might be applied to improve the life circumstances and the psychological well-being of children and young people, I also hope that people will go away, not just with a few techniques to try out themselves, but with a few techniques that they can apply in their work with children and young people as well. And I suppose the final thing I'd add to that is a hope or an aspiration that people will have an appetite for learning more about the ACT model and how to apply it. And certainly we can have discussions toward the end of the day, and I can point delegates in the direction of both practitioner and research literature that can enable that process to take place.
Thank you so much for your time today, Duncan. I'm sure many people will be very interested to come along.
It's been absolutely fantastic to talk to you. Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to the workshop.
Duncan's workshop is on Wednesday the 4th of July at the Engineer's House in Bristol. For more information, go to www.acamh.org.